Let me introduce Jerry Varro for you. He's an Italian-American born in Queens, New York, and Jerry was very close to most of the characters in the mob's secret judge and was raised with a strong influence of the Italian culture. Jerry had the potential to be a made man, that's in quotes, because of his contacts. He decided to go into another direction. Here's Jerry on Coast to Coast. Hi, Jerry. How are you?
I'm good, George. How you doing?
Good. Are you glad you went in the other direction?
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. I mean, my uncle warned me probably in the late 80s. He says, you know, kiddo, this thing of ours is going in another direction. It's bad. So he warned me.
He did. I'm going to get into some stories with you later, Jerry, about Jimmy Hoffa and see if you can shed some light on it for us. On things that you've heard. George, back to you now. The judge. How did Pauly get called the judge? Why was he called the judge?
Well, it really dated back in his very early life. There was all kinds of issues going on within various crews dealing with Shylocks. Now, Shylocks would loan money, mostly betting money, and then they would call in their debt. And if a guy couldn't pay, you cited one a while ago, if a guy couldn't pay his debt, he would be in trouble. And if he really told somebody, go screw yourself, that's it. He was toast.
So if a guy borrowed, let's say, AJ, 10 grand to make a bet, how much did he have to end up paying back? The whole thing? Or
no, 10%. Plus 10%.
Plus
the 10%. Whole thing plus 10. That's the vig or the juice, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, not for nothing. There are people on the street who might charge you more vig or more juice. Depends how desperate you are. You know, not there's not honor among all thieves. Some can sense desperation in you, charge you 20 points, 25 points, depending on the amount you need. But, yeah, you know, you've got to come up with some money when they come knocking.
Most people borrowed it for gambling in those days?
In those days, gambling. I can't imagine there was any kind of huge drug sort of thing going on. Otherwise, the mob was in on it. But, yeah, gambling, the numbers. Basically, the numbers, playing the numbers. I mean, Jerry could speak more about that. I mean, first of all, how you doing, Jerry?
Good, I'm good, AJ. How are you?
Okay, good. I was telling people that I've seen the DVD brought me back to New York, hearing your voice in the back of that cab. But you could speak more of people owing money and vigs and juices and what happens when someone doesn't pay up.
Well, yeah, they pretty much borrow money for gambling. They have gambling debts, and then they borrow more. And then when they get to a limit with one Shylock, they go to another. And sometimes they get in trouble and own three or four Shylocks money. And that's when they get into trouble. And they borrow from one to pay the vig to the other one.
The old pyramid scheme, Jerry, yeah. Wasn't it?
Oh, it was bad. And what would happen was, is eventually he just couldn't pay. The vig was too high, and then they'd wind up killing him, and then no one would get their money. So that's when my uncle stepped in and said, this doesn't make any sense. Someone's got to sit down and work this out. And that's how he started little things like that. I don't think he was the judge yet at that point, but that's what he started negotiating. He was pretty much he probably invented consolidated debt.
The fact of the matter is, he really became the judge after the Appalachian debacle.
Tell us about that, George.
All right. There was a big meeting called with all the bosses in America to meet at this place, Appalachian. Now, the issue was that Vito Genovese had been given the task of organizing the whole affair and where it would be, and he chose Appalachian, tiny little town up in New York. And Pauly and various other people were just appalled because any large group up there would be seen, and it would be very risky. And he talked to all of his buddies, particularly Carlo Gambino. This is just not a good idea. And he warned everyone, you just don't want to do this. Well, then, of course, what happened is by sheer happenstance, they were found out to be there because the streets were lined with these black limousines. Hmm. What the hell were they doing up in this little town of Appalachian? And Pauly was with George Azenia, to go there because he was basically told by Jimmy Alto, you have to be there. But he recognized this was not good and disappeared through the woods in quite a driving feat, which is documented in the book, and went back on the roads just to see the police arriving. Well, when he got back to Little Italy, they called a meeting with Vito Genovese and just tore him a new one.
You know, it's not only documented in the book, but here's a better story for you. And, Jerry, you can speak to this as well. Obviously, if you read the book, you'll know that Sonny, Lefty Pauly was big in the, he owned a theater downtown in Little Italy or thereabouts where people, you know, would put on plays. And one of the younger men to do so was Robert De Niro, who played six roles in one play back in the day. Still, till he died, Bobby, as they called him, was loyal to Pauly Lefty. And if you remember the beginning of the movie, Analyze This, with De Niro and Billy Crystal, it begins with them going to this hideaway.
That's right. Classic.
And De Niro escapes that meeting with the cops. It's very similar to what happened in real life, and it makes you wonder how many of these stories, these original ideas, how many of these ideas are original from a screenplay, or are they taken from what actually happened in real life? I think De Niro knew that story and put it in the movie, or at least the
Jerry told me that if I really wanted to see what it was like, I should get The Bronx Tale.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that, Jerry?
Well, yeah, I was telling him, he was asking me, what are the more realistic movies? And I said, oh, Bronx Tale is, that's perfect. That was really realistic on how the life, you know, how life was in an Italian-American community. That was very realistic. Now, some movies, you know, it's got a lot of bull in there, but that was very realistic.
How about Goodfellas, Jerry? Pretty close?
Yeah, Goodfellas is pretty good. That was well done. That was realistic in a lot of ways. That was really good. The Sopranos were pretty good.
Yeah.
I asked my uncle about that, and he says, well, it was accurate in regards to a New Jersey family. A typical Jersey mafia family was dysfunctional like that, with a mob boss is going to a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
The other kid there is shooting up drugs and things like that. It was accurate that way, and in different terminology using it. A guy that did it, you could tell that he consulted with somebody that knew a lot of terminology when he called this kid a gagoots.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they said, get off my stoop, which is the steps to your house, those are terms that you wouldn't know unless you were, you know, in New York.
Also, you wouldn't know if you call someone a half a fanoic.
Yeah, half a fanoic.
All right. Which is
my
not
grandfather
the
used to say, call him, hey, he's a half a gingerella. That was another one where a guy was a wannabe wise guy. He was really a... See, that's the thing, too, Georgia, in the mafia. There's a lot of guys that claim to be somebody, and they were nobody.
Right. Nobody checked, right?
No. Not really. You know, from what he told me, the FBI just wanted to kind of show that they were doing their job. So they would bust guys, you know, from time to time, but just... They knew who Pauly was, of course. They knew who George Argendia was. It was really, I think, Thomas Filippone. They knew who those guys were, but why are they going to bust the real guys?
Yeah.
What do they care? They just want to appease the public, is what I was told. That's why they never bothered Pauly or Jimmy Alto or any of those, you know, the true heavy hitters.